I love New Year's. I love, even it's a little chilly. It's a little chilly out there. But I do love New Year's, and I love being able to start off new, because we look ahead with hope. We look ahead with anticipation of what God is going to do and what can be, and we have our hopes and dreams. And I love that. I'm an optimist by nature, and I'm just one who believes it's always going to be good and it's always going to be great. Let's just stick with it. Let's just go through it. And so we're going to do this. But as I was praying in the fall, coming into this year and asking God, what really is going to be our theme? What's going to be the foundation that we're going to build on for 2018, he just kept giving me this word, rooted. I hear something dinging and ringing over here. I think it is a phone. I'm sorry, this will drive me nuts. Hello? Hello? I missed it. I'm sorry. I missed it. I'd have been nice. I really would have. Be rooted. That's what I felt like the Lord said. God said, Wes, you know what? I want the church, and I want you, and I want your life, and I want their lives. I want you to be rooted in me. And so when I looked up the definition of rooted, it means this: to be established deeply and firmly. But God is saying, I want you to be established deeply. I want your roots in me. Not surface level, not just talk it, but not live it. Not just live it when it's comfortable or when it's easy. But I want the roots to go down into me and into my word. And I want you to be firm in it. Deeply and firmly established. Now, I don't know many of your Christmas traditions that when it comes to the Christmas tree. And I know Christmas is over and that we're beginning. And kind of what triggered this is my wife had told me earlier this week we need to get the tree out of the house this week. And so it kind of got the wheels turning and whatnot. So I don't know how many of you are fake tree at Christmas time. How many of you are natural tree at Christmas time? So pretty even. And here's the thing. I know that some like fake trees, you just kind of pop it out and you decorate it. And when you're done, you just take it down. You don't have to worry about needles falling off and all that stuff. Cause my wife is a traditionalist and we have to have a live tree and we're out there, standing out there in the cold trying to pick the right tree. And you're kind of taking your hands and pulling on the branches to see how many needles come off. Y'all ever do that? Then you drop needles. You're always sweeping something up and doing these things. I had a lady in our former pastor, when I youth pastored in Hagerstown, that had a fake tree. She put it up. She decorated it. She just left it all year. I mean, you go by her house in August, and there it is sitting in the corner. She would just, December whatever, she just unplug that thing. And she'd shove it over in the corner. And I'm like, what's up with that? She goes, sometimes I put it in the closet when people are coming over. And I don't want it to be weird. I'm like, so apparently I'm not people. And then at Christmas time, she just kind of reaches over and just plugs it right back in and she's ready for Christmas. Well, like I said before, my wife is a traditionalist. She likes natural trees. She likes living trees. Now this year I tried, I failed horribly, but I tried to get her to let me see if we could get y'all know what a fathead sticker is? It's one of those sports stickers you can put on your wall of athletes and whatnot. And I said, let's just get a fathead Christmas tree. Stick it on the wall, and we'll just get a couple of those pine cone air fresheners. And so it will still make the house smell nice, and she shot that down pretty quick. I personally thought that was genius. I you're done with it, you just roll it up. Next year, you just roll it back up, and you're ready for Christmas, And so that did not work, because she's a traditionalist. She likes the smell of a natural tree. She likes the feel that it brings to the house. And I get it. I really do. I didn't fight too hard. But in a microwave fake society, having the real thing is something. It's something. And so, but there's one thing that you can't get around, and it's this. It's a dead tree. It's a dead tree. They cut them off. Put them on a truck, send them somewhere. We go picking one, still knowing it's going to be a dead tree, but trying to find one that will at least get us through Christmas. set them up in our house. We decorate them. It's a dead tree. And whenever you get your tree, those of you who get live ones, one of the things they always tell you is this. They kind of cut the last couple of inches off again, so you have a fresh cut. And they say, go home, set it up. And what do they always say? Water it. You got to give it water. You got to check the water initially, because what will happen is if you don't water it, it will die quicker. But a Christmas tree within the first 24 hours can drink almost a gallon of water. And they'll give you supplements to put in, some by the packet, some just put some Sprite or something in the water and do it that way. But you have to water it, because a Christmas tree will drink a lot of water in the first 24 hours. And what you find is this, that the further you get into Christmas, the further you go having this tree in your house, that it will drink less and less, and the needles begin to fall more and more. Am I lying to you? And, you know, when you first put it up, it's nice, you're decorating, it's all beautiful, not a whole lot fall. But later, as you get closer, you touch the thing, and it's like, you know, then who's going to sweep that up? And I'm like, that's why we have children, you know. And you just get, the longer you go, the more needles fall, and the longer you go, the harder it gets. Even though it maintains its beauty. Even though it looks good from the outside looking in, even though it's still evergreen and the ornaments are there and the lights are sparkling and everything is beautiful, it still is a dying tree. It is a dead tree because for the first time in that tree's life, it has no roots. For years it grew. From a little seedling on up. Till it got big enough and in the right shape, and then it was cut down, propped up, decorated, and it looks good, but with no roots, it's not going to make it. Right? So when the Holy Spirit dropped this idea of being rooted in my spirit, I felt like what God was saying was, I want my people to be rooted in me. That it's not always about looking the right way. It's not always about having the right thing to say. And listen, I work as a presbyter as well in our district and oversee other churches and help other pastors and various things, and which is great. I love serving other pastors. I love encouraging them and checking on them and doing things like that. I'm not a political person at all. I'm not impressed by titles. I think a man is a good man or not a good man. I think a person is a godly person or they're not a godly person. I don't care how many letters you have behind your name. Or how much you make or don't make. We're all sons and daughters of a living God. And the problem is this. I've been senior pastor now for about 15 years, but I still have a little youth pastor in me. And youth pastors just say whatever they think. And I was sitting in a meeting with guys who are far more important than I. And they were coming down on us a little bit and grinding us a little bit because they wanted us to do this and that, all sorts of things. And I just sat there and I said, you know, that's no. I said, no. I said, it's not enough. I said, I think you're giving us churchy answers and I'm pushing back because I expect better out of that than you. What? You know, and it ended fine. They still love me. And it's all good. But seriously, sometimes, guys, we go through life and we just get so used to living and giving church answers. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Are you? Really? You know how things are, oh, I just thank God, do you? It's so easy to get into this thing where we're just saying the right thing and we're like the Christmas tree that can look alive. We look green, we look decorated, we look pretty, we got our Bibles and it's marked up and that's great. We come to class, everyone, that's awesome. You know, I watch online, I give faith, that's great. But that doesn't always mean we have roots that go down into Him. And without roots, we're going to struggle. And you might start the year off great, but in time, trees with no roots die. And when life hits people with no roots, needles and all sorts of stuff start falling. You ever felt like your life was falling apart? You ever felt like one little thing comes along and to you it's not a little thing, to you it's a big thing, and slams up against you, or somebody fails you, somebody disappoints you, somebody loses something, and you're just kind of going, I don't know what we're going to do. Everything is dramatic. Everything is big. Listen, sometimes it's because we don't have roots. People with no roots don't finish what they started. Without roots, they get knocked back. They get blown off course. And when life bumps them, they stumble and they feel like life is falling apart. We have to be rooted. You've got to put roots down and begin to grow. Rooted is faithful. Rooted is consistent. Rooted is to commit to the things of God and growing where you're planted. Listen, church hopping is not rooted. Kind of find a doctrine that allows you to live however you want to live, but still feel like you're walking with God. That's not rooted. Rooted is saying, God, I'm going to live and believe according to your word. And instead of trying to shape the word to adjust to what I want, I'm going to let my life be adjusted to what the word says. Listen, when you take God and you fashion him and you make him into the image that you're comfortable with, that's called idolatry. But when you look and say, God, I want to see you clearly. God, this year in my life, God, I want to see you. And Father, convict me in my life. Show me in my life, God, how to walk with you, how to live for you, how to serve you, how to give like you wanted me to give, serve like you want me to give, pray like you want me to pray, to fast like you want me to fast. God, teach me to be like you. And God, I'm not going to go running. Every time somebody looks at me crooked, well, I'm not going here anymore. I wonder what is wrong with people. You've got to get rooted. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, I have seen people, and we'll talk for a minute. I have seen people transition churches, and that's not a big deal. It happens. Not every church is for everyone, and I realize that. Every church has a style. Every church has an approach. Every church has a feel. God calls it his bride, okay? And how many of you know, every bride has a personality, okay? And not everyone gets along with everyone. You ever met somebody you kind of thought, I'm sure they're nice, but they're just not my people? You ever felt that? There's times you're glad you met somebody and times you're glad you left somebody. And that's okay. That's life. I don't think we all have to be best friends all the time. But here's the thing. I have seen people who have transitioned from a church and they go to another church and they're fine. They do well because you can transplant. You can. It's true. It happens. All right. But I've also seen people who will leave a church, but then not really get connected. And I'm telling you, listen to me, please hear my heart. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. Grow where you're planted. Grow where you're planted. Bear fruit where you're planted. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be committed to the things of God and grow where you're planted. A tree can only be transplanted so many times. Jeff, this is your line of work. This is what he does for a living. How many times can you dig a tree and plant a tree? 50-50. The bigger it gets, the less likely it's going to live. Listen, that's truth. That's truth. This is the verse that the Lord gave me. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. He says this, "And now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then," everybody say then. Yes. "Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." You will overflow with gratitude. Now, Paul, as he's writing this book, is trying to address people. And I'm not saying this is where you are, but Paul is addressing the Colossians who have begun to kind of drift. They've kind of picked up their feet and they let the current kind of take them. They're saying, y'all, we want to be followers of Christ, but we also want to be relevant to the culture. And so we're going to accept some things and try to find that balance. We're going to try to find enough of this and enough of that. And Paul's coming. He's saying, guys, listen to me. You got to realize what's going on here. You can't start accepting ideas into your lives that don't line up with who God is or what God has intended. And the whole book of Colossians is addressing this. He says in verse 8, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking, from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ." And what Paul is telling the Colossians is this: guys, you got to get Jesus back to the center of everything. You got to get him back to the center of everything. It's not about enough of him and enough of that. It's Jesus at the center of it all. And if we're going to be a people in 2018 that are rooted, that follow Christ for the long haul, Not just when it's easy, not just when it's comfortable, but to live a life of walking with Him, we need to remember what's really important. And Paul brings us back to the basics. He says in verses 4 or 5 of Colossians chapter 2, he says, I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I'm far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Now, some of the translations in verses 6 and 7 say, therefore. Other ones say, and now. But here's the thing you have to remember, because it is so easy for our hearts to lose focus. You ever had intentions to strengthen your marriage, but never really made any changes? You ever had intentions to handle your finances different, but just never actually got to handling the finances different? You ever had intentions to become more involved or to be more faithful or to say, you know what, I'm not going to let schedules and things determine how much I'm involved in the things of God. I'm going to let God be the center and the focus of my life. You see, it's so easy to lose focus, and usually becomes of one of two things. One is a truth deficiency. That's part of what trips us up and causes us to lose focus, is a truth deficiency. What happens is we're going through life, things are going along great, and then all of a sudden something happens that causes us to think a way about Christ that isn't true, or to believe something about Jesus that isn't true. God doesn't see you, God doesn't care, God's not enough, God has abandoned you. If God is able, if God's big enough, why didn't He stop this? Why didn't He do this? We start to believe a lie. We start to believe that something about Christ that isn't true. And it begins to cause our hearts to lose focus. The other thing is a trust deficiency. See, when trust has broken down, you can say all the right things about Jesus. You can even say all the right things in church. You can act right. You can walk right. You can know when to lift your hands and know when to sit and be quiet. Know when to shout out. You can understand all of it. But on the inside, your heart is looking to something else as it's stable. Oh yeah, I love Jesus. He's priority of my life. I trust Him for everything. But thank God I have this job. Thank God I have this. Thank God I have that, because that's what gets me through. And we begin to trust something other than Christ. Now Paul says you've got to remember what you have received. Remember what you have accepted. And he says this, it is Christ Jesus as Lord. Now the thing needs to matter. This needs to matter more than anything else in your life. Not just in word, but in the way that we live. Christ, where it means anointed by God. It tells us that Jesus was chosen, that He is the anointed one. Jesus is in the Greek was Jesus' personal name, but His Hebrew variation was Joshua, which means salvation. The Lord is salvation. So every time we say Jesus, we're confessing that He is our salvation, and there's no other name by which we must be saved. The Lord, the original language doesn't just say Lord, it says the Lord, implying the truth that Jesus is unparalleled. There's no one greater than Him. He is the strongest. He's most sovereign. He under heaven, the rule, the authority, the anointing. Jesus is it. So when I say Christ Jesus is the Lord, what I'm saying is He's the anointed one. He's my salvation. There's none greater than Him, and I'm going to make Him the center of my life. And see, guys, when you understand that, when you take that and you apply that to your heart, it just makes sense to walk with Him. When I challenge you to be rooted in the house of God, I share that because a lack of connection between you and Jesus is not normal for someone that He's the center of. We're supposed to come and take what we learn on Sundays and Wednesdays. And we have small groups and Bible studies that are happening. I'm telling you, guys, if you're not connected to one of these things, there's some great stuff going on. You need to be here. You need to be here. You take what you learn on Sunday in Sunday school. You take what you learn on Wednesday in class. You take what you learn in your personal time of devotions and prayer, and you apply it to your life. And in doing so, we walk with Him. Now, I understand that no one is perfect. I understand that we stumble and we make mistakes. And I understand that there are weeks that schedules are crazy. And I have told people before, and I have said this, that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to stay home and rest. I get it. I get it. I've got kids. We've got schedules. You've got schedules. Life is busy. And I understand no one is perfect. But if we can come and not feel connected or convicted or motivated to get involved, I question this morning if we are rooted. The answer to a struggling walk is to focus on Jesus more. And you can go buy a new book and you could get another accountability partner. You could listen to more sermons, or at least better ones. You can fast, you can pray, but it won't work if you're just using those things to replace focusing on Christ. It's got to be personal. It's got to be real. Your roots have to go down. And Paul tells us that. We need to be rooted in Him. He's the anointed one. He's your salvation. There's none like Him. And then Paul tells us and he shows us what a walk like this looks like. Rooted, built up, established, strong in the faith. See, to be rooted in Christ means we've been firmly connected to Jesus. Like a branch to the vine, he talks about in John 15. It is a word that describes something that took place in the past, but it has present implications. That's living out the life that he says we can live. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Spiritual maturity is not becoming independent of God, it's becoming more dependent on God. That's what rooted is. Don't leave Him out of the decision-making process for your life. Seek His face. Because not everything that sparkles is gold, guys. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. He says to be built up. To be built up in Him, it means that the solid foundation on which growth can take place, the growth and the progress, is only as good as the foundation that it's built on. Matthew 7, 24 to 27 tells us a story about a wise man and a foolish man. Our kids sing it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon what? The sand, and the winds blew and the storms came. And the man who built his house on the rock stood firm. But what happened to the man who built his house on the sand? It went what? Splat. Somebody's got the song right. Somebody know. It went splat. Here's the thing. You can build a quality house on poor foundation, and it's still going to fall in the storms. Foundation's critical. The root system of your life is critical. You can't get around it. You can't get away. Many a person has drifted, even though they were great builders, because they lacked character. Roots and built up need to work together. A tree with no roots is going to fall. Remember in the summer we get some of the winds and blow and things around here. You drive to work, there was trees laying down all over the place. Why? Because they had been years and years and years and years and years of growing and living and being strong enough. But all it took was the right storm, and you see a tree tilted over and all the roots are sticking up. Because they didn't have the root system to handle their life and where their life went. God says, put your roots down in me. Get connected to a Sunday school. Get connected to a Wednesday night study. Get connected to a small group. Get connected to the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Get connected to living your life in a way that honors God. Develop a real practical way to grow in your knowledge of Him and in your service of Him. And what's going to happen? I'll tell you what happens. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. See, when our roots go down and God begins to build you up, you will grow stronger in your faith by the truth that you have been taught. Meaning this, that as you walk with Him, you're going to develop a confidence in what you believe. The more you experience the power of God's Word, the more you will trust it. Can you imagine being at a place in your life that when the storm comes or the wind blows, that you don't freak out? Can you imagine being at a place in your life that when you get off the phone from the doctor and he just wasn't very positive on the phone, that you go, well, you know, doctors have wisdom, but ultimately, God's my healer. Finding peace in that. Imagine a life that the trials and the hardships and the challenges, you're not living your life reacting to them or trying to survive them. They're not knocking you all over the place, but because you are built up in Christ and your faith is strong and you're able to walk with Him confident in the promises of God over your life and over your home and over your provision and over who you are. That's peace. We think peace is just when there's no storms. That's not peace. Peace is even in the midst of storms. Even, because I don't know about y'all, and honestly, if you're a follower of Christ, and because you're a follower of Christ, nothing bad ever happens in your life. I need some of your germs or something. I'll drink after you just lick my hand, and then I'll lick it or something. I need some of that, maybe, because life happens to me. Life happens. Anybody else have life happen? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, okay, all right, God's got that. God's got that. And because I'm rooted, because I'm grounded in Him, I'm going to look at these things. I'm going to say, okay, God, I know You're able to do that. Now, God, what are You trying to teach me in this? Because I thank You, Jesus, that this is an opportunity for me to learn something about You. This is an opportunity maybe to shape my life a little bit. That maybe there's some things that I haven't been doing wisely. And now this is going to help me become more wise. When people talk about you and say things about you, when people do things that hurt you and they mean to hurt you, then all of a sudden you're going to be able to look at that and say, unbeknowing to them, they've just made me stronger. They've made me stronger because I'm walking in faith and I'm walking in Christ and my roots are going down and God is building me up. And you know what? You may admit to bring harm, but thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your challenge. Thank You for what You've done, because You've given me an opportunity to say God is greater than this, and I'm going to show love and I'm going to care and I'm going to bless and I'm going to speak blessing, because my roots are not in this. My roots are not in that. My roots are not in an image. My roots are based in Christ. And I know who I am in Christ. Ephesians 3:14-20 says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resource, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. I love how He sets that. May your roots go down. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. You know what that means? Not everyone does. But you can. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of God. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. How do we live that kind of life? We live that life rooted in Him. We live that life where we say, this is going to be the center of my life. Jesus is going to be the center of, I don't care what kind of promotion they're offering. It's not God. It's not God. And we've got to hold fast. We've got to hold on to the things of God. Because when you get to the place that you're rooted and built up in the things of God, strong in your faith because you're walking in the truth, you've learned, I love this. The byproduct of that life is this. You're going to overflow with thankfulness. Amen. Now, I know a lot of people who are thankful sometimes. Seriously. Aren't we thankful sometimes? It's cold out there. I don't imagine anyone driving home today, having a flat tire, getting down, going, well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know a lot of people that are thankful sometimes. But He says you can overflow thankfulness. One of the characteristics of walking with Christ is an overflowing gratitude. Now, I love the scriptures. I love that it doesn't say when you're rooted, built up, strong in your faith, you'll be able to find some things to be grateful about. I love the fact that Jesus says, when you walk with me, you will overflow gratitude. You will overflow thankfulness, even in the tough times, because I'm rooted and I'm not being blown all over the place. Hallelujah. Yeah, you ever just have a freak out moment? Just one of those moments. You don't know what you're going to do and you just... You just lose it. You just spaz out. You just, I'm going to go rob a bank. That's what I'm going to do. I've seen it on TV. They get away with it sometimes. You just have this moment. You just, something comes up and you overreact and you just blow it way out of proportion, which always makes it better. Always makes it better. And then maybe your spouse is loving and they look and go, you need to calm down, which always makes it better. And then you got a lot of people that are not really making it better. But can you imagine a life that you live where something happens and you go, babe, God's got us. And we'll address it. We'll deal with it. There might be some winds and storms. Look here, take my hand. Take my hand. Come on. Lord, we didn't see this coming, but you did. And nothing catches you off guard. So God, teach us how to walk through this in a way that honors you. Teach us how to handle this. And God, where we need to grow through this and in this, help us to grow. So that our lives might be a witness to somebody else who's going through this, who's freaking out like I used to, because they don't have the roots that now you've helped me to grow in, and then help me love them through it and teach them how to grow. Oh, come on, church. Come on, church. Can you imagine living that kind of life? Can you imagine going to that kind of church? Can you imagine going through life in a way that you're not spazzing out and freaking? And that doesn't mean things don't come. That doesn't mean we're not going to cry. We're not going to laugh. It doesn't mean we're not going to deal with the emotions that we deal with. But it means my roots are solid. Let the winds blow. Let the storms come. I'm not going anywhere. Because God has got me, and I know the promise that He speaks for me. Listen, when I'm able to overflow gratitude in my life, being able to thank Him for the challenges and the failures and the struggles that I've had, you give God praise. Because you know, Lord, I tell you, it almost killed me. Almost. Come on. Somebody need to tell the devil, devil, almost, but not today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My roots are in Him. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Listen, let 2018 be the year we get rooted. Let 2018 be the year that you really settle in to Him. Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to close with this, and we're going to do communion. For roots to grow, a seed must be planted.